Talktainment Radio, Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio.
We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. The world's greatest radio, and you're in touch with Wiggins World of Wellness. And I'm Stacey Wiggins, and this is radio the way it should be heard. Thanks for joining me today. We're going to have a fantastic topic, and it's kind of inspired. It isn't kind of. It's inspired from, as most topics are, from past weeks or several weeks' events. So the topic today is, how do you value your health? What is it worth to you? I mean, we all want it. Some of us have it. And when you're without it, oh man, life is tough. So how do you value your health? Which way do you value it? Is it that you can move? Is it that you can get out of bed? Is it that you can perform certain tasks? Or if you're a professional athlete, whoa, that's a different question. How do you value your health then? Is your health kind of like LeBron James? How much money does he invest in his own health? I've heard recent figures is far past a $1 million per year. So if you're making $20 million and you invest $1 million into maintaining your health so you can continue making $20 or plus million, just pulling figures out, that's a wise investment. A wise investment. So how do you value your health? What is it worth to you to be able to live pain-free? Yeah, just to live pain-free, not to be able to jump up and dunk a basketball or sprint, 440 in 4.4 seconds or whatever. No, that's a 40 in 4.4 seconds. Just to be in a healthy state. What is that worth to you? That you can wake up, do your tasks, go to work, pick up your grandkids, go to school, go to classes, whatever it is that you do. What is that worth that you're able to do that? And not being able to do that, how costly is that? This topic kind of is a carryover from last topic. The last time I talked, at the bottom of the half hour, I made a statement that really kept on having repercussions in my own thinking and some other people's thinking too, because you know I like to talk it out. But the statement was that over the past, well over past 10 years, that I only spent $150 on pharmaceutical medications, drugs, whatever. So in a 10-year, actually it's been more than 10 years, but I just pulled the figure, 10-year figure, no pharmaceutical need, no pharmaceutical requirements, didn't have medications, didn't have a prescription that I needed to continue on. So my expense, listen to the word expense, my expense in that industry was minimal. Yet, you know, when I told people that, and they said, well, Stacey, that's not fair, because how much money did you spend on other stuff? How much money did you spend on the healthy stuff? And I started to think. And then my jaw dropped because I was thinking so much, like, oh, wow, that's a hard figure to come up with. And I really have yet, as today, not able to give you a genuine figure. Like one of my brothers down in Florida, he talks about, man, I'm spending about $400 or $500 a month on all these supplements I'm taking. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty expensive. It can be that expensive. But yet, on the other hand, he is spending or investing his money in supplements. But yet, on the other hand, you could be spending or not investing, but just an expense, spending money on something that may be not healthy for you. Might not be helping you gain more health in the long run, such as pharmaceutical drugs. They mitigate, they come in between, they do not actually promote healing of the body. So is it an investment or an expense that you're working with? This comes with how do you value your health? How do you place your money? How do you place your concentration, your desires in one way or the other? Okay. So this came out. It's like, wow, you know, because, you know, my parents have passed on. And one of the things that my dad, as he was getting older, one of the things that he just really, you know, was concerned about and reiterated all the time is that he never wanted to be a burden for anybody. He never wanted to, you know, have anyone else suffer along with him. And it's like, yeah, I hear you, Dad, but that's not fair. You know, you took care of us since birth, and it's our time around to help take care of you. But clearly I understand it's not more than, it's more than just ego talking. It's the desire to want to be well, the desire to not want to have your ill health land upon someone else's hands, and they have to handle it. So I went home this past, was it last weekend? 2 weekends ago, and we had a honoring of some of the outstanding people that Yellow Springs produced. And I call this the YS effect, the Yellow Springs effect, because so many things happened in Yellow Springs that were very special that I can now look back and appreciate. But, you know, as you're growing up and growing through and having the time of your life as a child in Yellow Springs, you just take these things for granted. So the first thing that I really took for granted is how healthy most of us are. I mean, if you take the population of Yellow Springs people compared among the other populations, Columbus or other places, you'll notice that overall their weight's a little more managed. They aged more gracefully. And this point was way, way taken deep to my consciousness when my best friend Billy, his mother was coming into town to help celebrate her daughter's accomplishments. And I totally forgot all about this. Billy's sister's named Deborah Pearson, or probably not a married name now, so I apologize, Deborah. But when she was in high school, she was a track star. I mean, so many people that I grew up with were just, they excelled at all these sports. And I totally forgot that she, and the record is still held today, she broke a high school record. I was going to say world record. She broke a high school record of a high jump. She jumped 5'11". And it still stands today. They don't think anybody's going to break that high jump record. And so that was just like, oh, wow. And, you know, she's in the year. She graduated a year ahead of me. Fantastic. Looking great. You know, just full of vitality. Just doesn't look like she's aged. Now, Billy, my best friend, and we played basketball together, my classmate, he looks great. I mean, he's a little bit overweight, but looks fantastic. You can see vitality coming through his eyes and his face, always the joker that he's been. And, you know, we like to make fun of each other because we, in 1978, our basketball team got to the state district champs. And so our names are up on the banner in the on the Yellow Springs High School gym. And so we like to say, yeah, we're checking in and see if they hadn't taken our names off, you know, if they disqualified us somehow. But anyway, Billy said, yeah, my mom's coming in from out of town because, you know, it's a big thing to for her to recognize her daughter being celebrated for this this event and its honoree. And I'm thinking, okay, cool, I haven't seen Billy's mom in for ages, at least 20 years. So I was excited to see her because, you know, they lived next door. You know, we both... he spent tons of time in our house and with our family. I spent tons of time with their family. So, you know, we were two families pretty well united. So I thought, well, I can't wait to see Billy's mom. And I had a picture because he said, yeah, he's coming in with my younger brother, Stevie. Or she's coming in with my younger brother, Stevie. So I'm like, all right, Stevie probably needs to help, you know, help walk her mom in, or she's not fully mobile or whatever. So they're coming together. And we're in the high school gym, same high school gym that I grew up with. The seats are changed a little bit. They still hurt. They're still, they're bleachers, but they updated them somehow. So we're sitting on these bleachers and Billy says, hey, here comes mom now. And I'm looking for his mother and I just glanced right over it because in my mind, I had this vision that she's going to be walking a little slow or humped over or, you know, just aged. She came in walking straight up, you know, just glowing and flowing of energy. And when she stepped up the bleachers, because we were about four or five bleacher sections up, she stepped up like a teenager. She stepped up with no problem. You know how people want to get their balance and hold someone else's shoulder, or, you know, they feel kind of a little rocky. She stepped right up there and my jaw dropped. I'm like, Mrs. Pearson, how you doing? Give her a hug. She gives me a firm hug. And I was just blown away. This lady's got to be in her 80s. I know no one wants to have their age blasted out. But, you know, hey, Billy and I, his older sister, we grew up together. And one thing I remember is that Billy's grandmother, she, when she would come into town and visit, she was lively, very active, very just healthy looking into her old age. Then I asked later on, well, how did she live? And he said, 99. I'm like, wow. So here I am, blown away by seeing how healthy is and if she is. And I talked to Billy and said, oh, yeah, she works out every day. You know, she's in Houston. And, oh, yeah, and I talked to her, you know, every other day or whatever. I said, man, that is fantastic. I was just, I was, in a sense, I was kind of hurt because, man, I wish my parents, you know, were around. And, oh, man, I wish they, you know, would have taken care of themselves. But, hey, they're gone, and I'm okay with it. But to see his mom in such great shape, just really, it warmed my heart. But this wasn't it. I come back, and my next office day, Monday, Tuesday, talking to one of my clients, and he said, yeah, I went to a meeting over at Rickenbach, and did you hear about the Tuskegee Airmen flying in? I'm like, no, I had no idea. He says, yeah, Tuskegee Airmen flew in and gave a talk. I said, oh, really? He said, he was 100 years old, or is 100 years old. I said, wow. He said, but you're not getting my point. I said, well, what's the point? He flew the plane in to Rickenbacker Airport, got off the plane, gave a speech. Don't know what he did afterwards. But the guy is 100 years old. So I'm like, oh, wow. My jaw dropped. I'm like, wow, 100 years old. I don't know what's required to fly a plane, but you better be pretty sharp at 100 years old if you're flying a plane. And so that was like a profound, my goodness, you know, we're up here dying at 60 and 70, and this guy's kicking butt at 100 years old. So that was a mind blower. And then later on, through inside sources at Lexus, someone told me, now this is true. They saw the ID, and the ID said it was in 1905. A 115-year-old man came in and bought a new Lexus. I'm like, oh, come on. No, you got to be kidding me. She's like, no, for real. We even took a picture of his license, his driver's license, and it was in 1905 that he was born. You like, do the math. 1905, okay. About 114, 115 years old, and he is buying a new car. For who? For himself. Now, that doubly blew me away. It's like, what's more impressive, a guy who can fly a plane at 100 or another guy who's at 115 buying a new car? So you see what I mean? What? How do you value your health? Because how long will your health go? Some people think, oh, I'm in my 50s. Well, you know how it all goes downhill from there. No, that's your imagination. That's the voice going on in your head. What's going on? What voice are these people listening to that are 100 years old and still flying a plane? What's going on in their mind? Very interesting. Well, I tell you, the health that I personally have enjoyed for most of my life, it's been fantastic. I've been living a dream. I've learned how to get out of pain. I had chronic pain, you know, pretty much growing up. Over 22, 23 years ago, I've been, quote, pain-free. And a lot of people really have a hard time understanding just what that means. And then I try to tell them that, look, being pain-free isn't optimal wellness. If pain, chronic pain is a 10, and being pain-free is pretty much a 6, optimal wellness is like at a 1, okay? So just being pain-free isn't like all life has to offer. But I have at least been pain-free, free of chronic pain. Yeah, you can go out and hurt yourself and make a quick injury, but the injury recovers, repairs, regenerates. So over, like I said, 22 or so odd years, living a pain-free, balanced life, a healthy brain to allow me to expand, to explore, to contemplate, there's got to be a better way. What if you did this, or what if you took this, or what if you borrowed from a yoga pose and put it on a BOSU, okay? Without my balanced brain, without being pain-free, it's hard to say what one can create when they're dealing with pain all the time. They could be dealing with pain in so much of fashion that they have to use drugs, opioids or alcohol or whatever kind of drugs, to minimize, to mitigate this pain. Then where's your creativity? Then where's your ability to ponder, to explore new ideas, new concepts? So living this pain-free life has really gave me a creative and a very successful way to live and really basically to be happy about who I am, who I'm trying to be, and who I just already is. To learn to love yourself, because it's, you're chasing ghosts, you're chasing shiny objects, you're chasing the latest fad, the latest this and that, the clothing that, you know. If you're not learning about yourself and finding how to love yourself, to invest in yourself, to forgive yourself, to self yourself, if you're not on that path, then you're probably not investing in your health. It's just an expense, and your life is being expended. Interesting tie-in. So that allowed me to develop this whole new system of working out, of decompressing the joints, of bringing balance to your workout, of bringing flexibility to your workout, and to make it revolutionary. Now, I have, since I've been using and teaching this class well over 15, 16 years, I've had many people come through, some professional athletes, some Olympic, one lady was Olympic jiu-jitsu, self-defense, an Olympic competitor. So many people of many walks of life coming through, taking my class and offering either their thanks or offering a suggestion as to, this is great, but have you thought about this? So it's a compilation of a lot of the work that I've done and input from all sources and all variety of people to help create such a workout system that now it is absolutely off the wall. Invigorates a person. It decompresses a person. It teaches a person how to breathe in deeper. It is actually reversing your age. But, you know, you have to try yourself to experience that and to see if it does work for you. So the cost of tension. The cost of tension was the very first article that I wrote. And the idea that I was trying to get out at that time, and I wrote this article well over 20 some odd years ago, and now it just needs updated. And the updated version is coming up. It's coming right off the top of my head here. All right, so my very first article I wrote was about the cost of tension. And what do I mean by the cost of tension? Well, we never really stop to contemplate the fact that if my shoulder stays tight, or if I've had an injury and I keep the muscles kind of tucked in or tight, that it's actually costing me. It's costing me energy to be tight. It's costing me a lack of recovery time because the tension, I like to call it tourniquet of tension, because when it's tight, it reduces, it restricts blood flow. Blood flow is everything. No flow, no go. Little flow, little go. So if you're restricting blood flow, it's causing pain. Couple podcasts before, I harped on the fact that pain is an absence of oxygen. Pain is a tension, a chronic tightness for the most part. There's other pains. There's spiritual pains. There's mental pains. But we're just talking physical, body, muscular aches and pains and the chronic way that we've held on to them. So I'm going to fly through this article one more time because the cost of tension today now really is equivalent to the cost of non-movement, or the non-movement society we are currently living in. So let me tie all this in. And I love this because when I wrote this article, it said, having 10 years as a practicing massage therapist, Well, that was well over 20 years ago. I've had the chance to see a large amount of people who are stressed, tense, and chronically tight. People walking around with no idea how tight they really are. And some people, even worse, have no idea how they got that way. It has become a huge challenge for me to develop the awareness in others regarding tension and how badly it really is. How heavy is the cost of their stress? And how to address it? When dealing with stress and related issues, a short review of human anatomy and physiology is needed. The degree of muscular tightness, the degree of muscular tightness is also related to decrease in blood and lymph flow. This affects the inflow of nutrients and the outflow of toxins. If you can't eliminate toxins, your body is in trouble. If you experience a restricted range of motion due to tightness or pain, you tend to limit the use of that joint area. When muscles stay tight, which are called hypertonic, healing is hindered due to decreased blood flow, lymph activity, as well as joint being jammed up or restricted. Finally, and this is the biggie, most people have no idea how much energy they are wasting because of their tension or stress level. There are a lot of people who consciously or unconsciously develop so much tension that they use more energy just lying on my massage table than I am working on them. Now, granted, I'm a pretty relaxed individual, and I consciously work towards that. But the point is, carrying a 20-pound bowling ball with you all day is equivalent to high stress or tension in the neck and shoulders. So the energy you are efforting just being tight is exhausting. Just exhausting? No, it is. Is it criminal? Yes, but it's also causing a lot of joint compression and thus irritating nerves. There's a whole downstream effect. Okay, and I'm about to explain it. Let me explain this in another way. Imagine your tension cost you money. The degree of tightness is proportional to expense. So some muscles may cost you 5 cents per minute, while others muscles would cost several dollars per minute being tight. At the end of the month, your billing statement comes to $750. You know, congratulations, Mr. Wiggins. You're down from $1,000 worth of tension that you spent last month. Now, that's got you thinking. If you could equate your amount of tension to an expense, you would reduce that tension. So if only you were to ask the question, what do I stand to gain from being tense? What are the benefits? What has occurred in my life which causes me to become this way? You know, how did I go about gaining and really laying on layer by layer this tense life that I've developed, that I've become to be? We must examine what happens in our lives, but not get swept away in analysis or paralysis and bogged down by being super negative on yourself. That's not beneficial at all. So we try to conquer our fears with obsessiveness and labeling and qualifying how bad this appears to be. For instance, a bad blood vessel is a bad blood vessel, but its location qualifies it. If it's the bad blood vessel in the head, it's a stroke. If it's a bad blood vessel in the heart or in the chest, it's a heart attack. So getting tense, staying tense, and the increasing tension we deal with in our lives is on the rise, faster than ever before. How do we get off this crazy runaway train? Well, then it goes into explaining what alphabotics is. Alphabotics can help return you to a natural state, centered balance, and poised state of being. This self-empowering alphabotic unification process releases, increases, and sustains our life force energy. It's an awesome way to live. So what is that? What are we trying to get here? Well, first off, we are heavily, and I don't like to use the word invested, we heavily expended money, our time, our effort to becoming sick. And now we have to invest money to become more of our healthy self. Now, in the past time, I've talked about the 12-to-1 ratio. Now, here's what I mean. If you can spend time investing in your body, investing in your health, for every 1 week, for every 1 month, month that you spend being balanced, it can erase 12 months of imbalance. Here's why. Your body regenerates cells at an awesomely fast rate. You're making 86 million cells per second. I've said this before, but you still need to contemplate this. 86 million cells per second. You're making new cells and old cells are dying off. You're making new cells and old cells are dying off. Each moment is kind of like happy birthday. So you have an opportunity to remake, to remodel a new you. And how long would this take? This will take anywhere between 5 to 7 years. Here's why. Certain parts of your body have a very quick turnover rate. The cells are being made very quickly, like such as the esophagus inside your throat and your mouth. If you were to burn your tongue 2-3 days, it's healed. However, if you were to burn your skin 2-3 weeks, maybe it's healed, depending on the degree of burn, of course. So we have different turnover rates, and our bones require maybe about 5 years for full replacement from day one to day five. So here's your thought process. What am I doing today for a better tomorrow's body? What am I doing today to create, to invest in my health? Because an expense would be, we won't use any fast food chains, but an expense would be, I got to go eat some quick food, some fast food. Part of that expense is you're buying a low-cost meal, but the cost comes in much higher when you start to consider what is in that meal. And I heard this great conversation. I was in a grocery store line, and there was a kid behind me talking on his phone, pretty loud, so I could quickly overhear it. And he's like, "Yeah, Mom, this canola oil stuff—it's not good for you, and it's everywhere. Every time you pick up a package, some of this oil is in these products." And he then went on to talk about how the 1970s, it was then referred to as rapeseed oil, and the processing, and it was an industrial oil, and actually they call it a vegetable oil, but it's coming from a seed. So it's already being mislabeled, misnamed. It's not a vegetable oil, it's actually rapeseed oil. Then they changed the name to canola oil sometime in the 80s, whatever. And the process to get the canola oil on your shelf for you to buy, it's rather harsh. It involves chemicals. It involves, let's just say this, that the rapeseed plant is a hybrid plant. And if you were to follow the constructs or the ideas of Dr. Sebi, he clearly demonstrates that hybrid plants are pretty much destructive to our health. So this rapeseed plant, which is now used in canola oil, is quite a destructive oil. But if you go online, you need to do your own research, because you're going to find somebody who's going to defend everything. There's going to be a pro for everything. But I've heard this information for well over 15 years, that the production of it and the invention of it, I believe was in the early 70s, was mainly just to make a cheaper oil, to bring the cost down on products, things like that. So this particular oil is very destructive to your body. And what do you mean destructive? Well, you got to consider this. You are, at a cellular level, made of a what they call bilipid layer. Bi is two, lipids is fat. So you have a fat layer. Each cell, each trillions of cells in your body has a fat layer. And the quality of fat that you consume equals the quality of cell that you make. Flat out, it's just that way. So if you have a poor quality fat, if you have a canola oil or a cottonseed oil, dear God, don't get me started on that. Cottonseed oil is hideous. You are having oxidization occur, or you're bringing in oxidized oils, which are damaging to your body in many ways, but those are the building blocks you're starting to use for your cellular regeneration. This is why we age very quickly, is because the equipment that we use, or I should say the nutrition that we choose to use, is maybe more destructive than it is constructive. Now, I have, on the other half of the show, a good clip that will give you a good start off on knowledge of which oil should I use, because I use, for high-temperature cooking, avocado oil. It's a wonderful, wonderful oil. And you can get it in actually a propellant spray can or just in a bottle. And we'll get back to that and the oil recommendations here on the other side, because if you want to make better cells, you got to know what you're doing towards making a better you. Here on TalkTainmentRadio.com, we go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. Podcasts are available. That's radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. More up on Wiggins World of Wellness on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kickin' online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin' products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin' candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Shop Ash Kickin' online at www.ashkickin.com.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of A Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
I've got the water, energy bars, and camera. I think we're set for the hike.
Almost. We need to protect our skin. Don't forget your wide-brimmed hat and sunscreen.
All right. I've got the hat. I've got SPF 30. Will that work?
Yeah. Anything 15 or higher is good. Just make sure it says broad spectrum.
Great. Got it. I am not getting burned again. Let's go.
Learn more at cdc.gov/cancer.
Michael Vick's guilty plea didn't solve the problem of dogfighting in America. More than 250,000 dogs are placed into fighting pits each year. I'm Wayne Pacelli, president of the Humane Society of the United States. If you think staged animal fights have no place in our communities, then join us in the fight now. We're going to put dogfighting out of business once and for all. To find out how, visit us at humanesociety.org.
A message from the Humane Society of the United States. Learn more at humanesociety.org.
See you next time, Dr. Carter.
All right, Mr. Stewart. Keep taking your pills. Mr. Stewart is one of my patients, a smart one. He's at risk for kidney disease, so he gets simple testing done, because kidney disease doesn't have warning signs. But if you have diabetes or high blood pressure, or a family member with kidney failure, you're at risk. So get tested, because you have the power to prevent kidney disease.
Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, National Institutes of Health, National Kidney Disease Education Program.
Sex Code War by Kahari Inaharo, the author of the Essence magazine bestseller Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
Stand by for an important announcement.
Mortgage interest rates are the lowest in history. Did you hear that? Mortgage interest rates are the lowest in history. You can buy a home from Lenco Realty for less than rent. For details, call 614-375-2BUY. That's 614-375-2289 or log on to repohomelist.com. That's repohomelist.com and claim your American dream.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. Hey, this is Stacey Wiggins on Wiggins World of Wellness. And we were talking about how to make a better you, how to make at a basic cellular level, how to make a better cell. Because after all, you're just a community of cells. Yep. So call yourself up, yourself up, and go sell yourself on yourself. Now, what am I talking about? You got to start to love you, and loving you, part of loving you is figuring out how to get a better you produced. And we're producing cells all the time. So getting back to these oils, we were talking about the canola oil, the cottonseed oil, these industrial oils that are made very harshly with chemicals and temperatures, extreme temperatures. They are just not helpful in promoting health in your life. So I have a quick clip here, and I think this really helps to explain and give you a good idea and understanding of how to use oils for cooking or just cold consumption. Let's check in on this.
Here, she's a registered holistic nutritionist. Andrea, also the co-author of Unjunk Your Junk Food.
That's right.
Very cool. We all love oils. We all know we should be having our good, healthy fats.
That's right. Very important for us.
Yes. But let's talk a little bit about the difference between these different oils. We're going to start here. Avocado.
Oh, my gosh. One of my new favorite oils.
Yeah.
So avocado oil is made from avocados, specifically the green fleshy part that surrounds the pit.
Okay.
It has a very mild flavor with a hint of nuttiness. I would love you to try some.
Oh, and you made little heart breads.
I did.
Of course I'll try it with a little heart bread.
So what's great about avocado oil is that it's high in oleic acid, which is a monounsaturated fat.
Okay.
Super good for our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
It helps to lower bad cholesterol, increase good cholesterol, and it also has anti-inflammatory benefits, so it's great for people who have arthritis.
Can you use this? Can you like fry up and saute stuff with it?
I love that you asked that. So it's great just cold on salads.
Okay.
But it's also great for high heat cooking, because, like a stir fry.
Oh, good.
Because it has the highest smoke point of all the oils on the table at 500 degrees.
That's good to know.
Right. So the smoke point's important because it's the highest temperature you can cook an oil before it starts to burn.
That's right.
Once it starts to burn, it denatures it and it's unhealthy for us to eat.
Okay, very good. Really good information. Which oil do we have here?
So this is tiger nut oil. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
So it's new to me too.
It sounds like tiger nuts.
It's new to me too, but it's been around for 4,000 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's made from tiger nuts. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
And tiger nuts are a superfood because they're high in fiber and they're high in iron and potassium, but it's actually not a nut. It's a tuber or a type of root vegetable.
Okay.
So it has a bit of very nutty flavor.
It does.
Can
I really like it.
Very
I
nutty
really
flavor.
Like it.
And it's also high in that oleic acid. But what's great about tiger nut oil is that it's high in vitamin E. So if you're trying to get pregnant, this boosts fertility in both men and women.
How far? So, I mean, start taking this now if it's something that's in your future.
Exactly.
Right?
And incorporate it into your
meals.
It
can't hurt.
It can't hurt. Exactly. So you can roast potatoes with it. You can fry an egg.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because, like avocado oil, it has a very high smoke point at 460 degrees.
Very
so
nice.
It's super versatile.
And did you do these sort of in order of smoke point?
I did, from highest to lowest.
I like that. Now, these things, do people actually eat them as nuts?
Yeah, I eat them as a snack because they have so much fiber in it. It's great to keep us regular and it has so many other benefits.
I can't believe I've never heard of that. That's amazing. Okay, what oil do we have here? And we have donuts.
We have donuts. So this is canola oil.
Okay.
Now, to be honest, it's not one of my favorite, but it's super popular, and I'll explain why in a minute.
Okay.
So canola oil is made from the seeds of the canola plant.
Right.
So that's what they look like. They squeeze them.
Yeah.
It has a very neutral flavor.
Okay.
And it's also high in that monounsaturated fat. So again, it's good for our heart.
Okay.
Now, you see it a lot in baked goods like donuts and muffins and cakes, but also in packaged foods. And that's because it has a smoke point of 400 degrees. So again, we're still in that high smoke point area.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I don't love it so much is because a lot of the canola plants, more than 90% of the canola plants in Canada, are genetically engineered.
Oh, I see.
Also, companies refine it using chemicals like bleach. So if we're going to use canola oil, my advice would be organic.
Right.
Won't have any bleach in the processing, and it also won't have any chemicals.
And I have to say, in terms of taste, these have a really good natural flavor, whereas this is starting to taste a little bit different.
A little bit chemically, maybe?
A little bit. Mm-hmm. So, and that's really a personal preference. It's what you're into. I like those two tastes more, especially the nutty one.
So
that's good.
If you love the taste, wait till we get to this.
Because I love coconut oil.
Oh,
is this coconut oil?
This is coconut oil, one of my top three, for sure. It's great
for
our hair. It's great for our skin.
Yeah.
But when we eat it, it has so many health benefits.
Yes.
So coconut oil is made from the meat of the coconut.
Yep.
And it also, I mean, depending what you like, there's so many different flavors.
Yep.
So nowadays there's three on the market. There's unflavored or culinary that has no coconut smell or taste.
Yes.
There's original that has that coconut smell or taste.
Yeah.
And then there's a new butter flavor.
Oh, can I try that?
Yummy. That is for you to try. It tastes exactly like butter. It's great on toast. It's great on popcorn. And coconut oil
that
has a smoke point at like 350 to 375.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that's that meat. We don't want to be cooking our eggs with coconut oil. It turns green.
Does it?
It turns green.
I haven't tried.
And it has so many health benefits. It has what we call medium-chain triglycerides, or MCTs.
Mm-hmm.
They boost our metabolism. They burn fat. So it's amazing for weight loss. It's also being studied now for brain health, specifically Alzheimer's and memory.
Very nice. Now, if it's butter flavor, do you still get all the same nutritional benefits?
Yes, you do.
Oh, I
and
like
that. And
that's
why it's so great, because a lot of people don't like the taste of coconut oil.
Yeah, a lot of people. I don't mind it, but I love the butter flavor.
I love
it, amazing.
Too.
Olive oil?
So now we've got olive oil.
Yes.
Olive oil is made from olives.
Yes.
And there's a huge sensory component when it comes to olive oil.
Yeah.
So you know it's super fresh if it smells really pungent and fruity.
Mm-hmm.
It has a little bit of bitterness and a little bit of spiciness in the back of our throat.
Right.
So olive oil is super healthy. It's high in, again, that monounsaturated fat, good for our heart, anti-inflammatory. But it also has a compound called oleocanthal, which mimics ibuprofen in our body, so it reduces pain.
Oh.
Isn't that great?
I had never heard of that as a benefit of olive oil.
So good to eat. And what we want to look for when it comes to olive oil is extra virgin cold press.
Right.
Extra virgin means it has the highest amount of antioxidants.
Yep.
Cold press means that there's no heat used to take out the oil.
Got it.
Isn't that delicious?
It's really just an excuse for me to eat bread.
I love it. And you know what? They're so cute.
So I'm really loving everything about this segment. It's so good.
It's awesome.
Amazing.
So,
okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say the best way to eat olive oil, at least the good expensive ones, is you want to dip it in cold, just on its own, put it on a salad dressing, and leave the less expensive ones for cooking.
Right.
So they'll have a higher smoke point.
Because the really good ones, you want it just completely natural. It's all good.
It's so good for
us,
right?
It's so good for you. And it tastes so good.
It tastes so yummy.
Finally, what do we have here?
So this is sunflower oil.
Okay.
Sunflower oil is made from sunflower seeds.
Yep.
It has a very delicate sunflower taste, and I'm going to try it with you too, because I brought a little piece of gluten-free bread.
Okay.
And what's great about sunflower oil is that it's also high in monounsaturated fat.
Right.
But there are many different types on the market.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're shopping for sunflower oil, you really want to look at the label, the nutrition facts panel, because companies that want you to know it's high in that monounsaturated fat will write it all over the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be happy to tell you.
Right.
And it has a smoke point of about 225. So again, that's the lowest on the table. So you don't really want to cook with it, but it's great as a finishing oil on pasta or on pizza.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, do you have a personal favorite?
Oh my gosh. I love avocado and I love coconut and I love olive. I'd say those are my three favorite for sure.
Is it easy to find the avocado oil?
Very easy. You can find them now at any of the grocery stores or healthy stores.
Okay. Really good. Thank you for this. This is really good information. There's so much food out there and so many food choices that it becomes overwhelming. So thanks for deconstructing.
With all the information that's out there, it's like your head's spinning. I don't know what to do and this and that. And when I go out to eat at a restaurant, and what kind of oils are they using? Well, unless you ask, you can pretty much be guaranteed they're using canola oil. Chinese restaurants, I looked in the back, you know, looked in their kitchen, see these big 5-gallon containers of canola oil. To be able to manage your health, you have to manage the food that's going inside of you, the consumption that you're making. Now, tiger nut oil, that's brand new to me. It's called a superfood. It's like, that's brand new to me. I am a superfood, self-proclaimed superfood nut, and I consume tons of superfoods, you know, throughout the day or the week. I'm usually doing either some chaga mushroom or some kind of, you know, avocados is considered a superfood. But just powerful foods. Maca is a superfood that has powerful benefits. I have yet to know and to hear about tiger nut. So, hey, I'm excited about learning more and studying more, because the more choices you have when you understand that, oh, I don't just have to eat coconut oil the rest of my life, or I don't just have to do one particular thing for the rest of my life. There is a variety, a wide choice of options available to become healthy. Oh, didn't talk about butter. Did not talk about butter. I love butter. And butter, it's gotten a bad rap, but it's coming back around. And the main reason is that when you consume butter from a cow that has consumed grass, not grain, grass, big, big difference. You're getting vitamin K2 and many other beneficial factors with this butter that you would not be getting otherwise. And we don't even have to talk about margarine, because that's a joke. That was a 70s ploy back in the day. But yes, is butter healthy? It certainly can be if it's healthy butter. if that makes sense, okay? If you have butter coming from a GMO source, I would not consider that healthy. Speaking of which, the GMO source was also referred to with the canola oil. She did a pretty good job not beating it up pretty much on that clip. But there's so many other choices to make. It's easy to avoid canola oil. So if it's in your kitchen, if it's on your shelf, just throw it out. Don't even think you're saving money. Just throw it out. Now, as you start to read labels, as you start to read packages, good luck. Because you're going to find canola oil in, I won't say everything, but good Lord, it feels like it. You read and boom, boom, canola oil. And then there's canola oil and or safflower oil. Safflower oil doesn't get high marks either. So, you know, it's an awakening. You got to realize what's going on. It's sometimes can be overwhelming when you start reading the choices you are making. Now, if you read an apple, there's no label on it. You don't have to worry about it. Well, wait a minute, you do. There's the GMO part of it too. So yes, it needs to be organic. Now, I'm going to change gears here a little bit because there's something else about really becoming healthy that we overlook, and we don't like to talk about it and look about it much because it's exercise. I'll just go ahead and let it out the bag right now. A lot of us try to go back to the gym and we hurt ourselves again. We re-injure ourselves trying to get out of the previous injury we had. So this has been one of my passions, one of my life missions, was to teach people the beginning steps, how to loosen up muscles, how to create more range of motion, more flexibility, which usually gets them out of trouble, usually gets them out of the pain cycle that they're in. But once that occurs, then their mind's like, well, what else is possible? And then we start getting into the strength part of it, the core, the stabilizing, the higher demand of your nervous system working at a much more proficient level. So I want to, I don't know, it's a part of my ego, you know, patting myself on the back, but I want to present to you some work that a professional football player is doing. And let's just say that I've been doing similar exercises, teaching this in my class, for about past 15 or so years. So I've had the pleasure of watching this professional football player for New Orleans. I would tear up his last name, so I'm going to let them say it. He's a phenomenal cat. And so check out his story.
This is definitely our most famous video. This is Alvin and I doing the Hico Sticks standing on the Swiss ball. What's really cool about this one is if you listen to the audio, I'm actually calling out a color. Sometimes I'm calling out a hand and a color. So he has to challenge his hand-eye coordination, his mental, his audio, listening and hearing which hand I'm calling, which color I'm calling, all while trying to maintain his center of balance. It was just unbelievable how comfortable he was. You see him almost lose his balance, and then he just pulls it right back in and just keeps it going like nothing ever happened. I mean, it's just incredible, incredible.
It's tough. Like, you know, a lot of people asking me, like, man, you just hopping up there. I'm like, man, I did it. The first time I did this was a year ago at this same time. Like, I didn't just hop up on the ball and start catching. Like, you know, it's just about taking the next step and getting better.
Kamara gets it, and he slashes through the defense and breaks not one, but two tackles.
Lost one down the sideline. Abba Kamara into the end zone.
He runs with so much balance and power.
All they're doing is running Kamara on the option route.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how we stop that?
Looks like Alvin Kamara's getting his work in elsewhere with the most insane workout video. You said you watched that 20 times, so obviously
it just shows me I'm on my way out, man. Thanks, Alvin. You really showed me that I got a few more years left in the tank.
There you go.
What we really do that's different from a lot of other places is focus on stability training, proprioception, trying to incorporate multi-body systems in order to kind of simulate what they're going to be having to do on the field. It's very beneficial to an athlete because they're able to learn how to control their body in awkward positions in different unstable environments in space. Now when they're bouncing off of a defender or they're getting knocked off their track, they have to be able to kind of regain their stability and their ground underneath them and then react accordingly. So by training on these unstable environments, it really helps improve their overall function on the field.
Ready? Let's go.
Good, core nice and tight.
There you go.
Nice. I'll give him something that looks impossible, and he'll look at me and be like, there's no way I can do that. and I'll do my best to make sure I can do it first. And from there, he'll say, man, if you can do it, I can do it, move over. And he'll do it, and he'll master it so quickly. So sometimes we push each other in our creativity, and that makes it really, really fun to work with him.
Bridgewater in the gun, takes a snap, Kamara at the 30, the 25, blockers in front, the 20, the 15, bounces off another, the 10, the 5, he walks into the end zone, touchdown, Alvin Kamara!
We have got a tackle! We got to get an end zone here!
He doesn't have much room, he's got linemen, but now all of a sudden, he's going to say, miss you, you miss, I'm just better than everybody on the field.
With Alvin, we've gotten to a point of progression now where the only way to make it harder is to start to incorporate multiple systems. Basic balance exercises are no longer a challenge. So we say, okay, how do we make this a little bit harder? And we're challenging his hand-eye coordination, we're challenging his cognition. So being able to challenge multi-systems such as mental, such as visual, such as physical balance, to see how quickly he's been able to develop has been extremely impressive.
It's Kamara. Able to cut back in. There's that balance we talk about as he's still going out past the 45-yard line. My, oh my, is he something. 28 yards there from Alvin Kamara.
One of the more famous videos that we did was him standing on a Swiss ball, catching a football, wearing strobe glasses. That was an idea, but I thought it was crazy, and we had already mastered standing on the ball, squatting on the ball, catching tennis balls, catching Hiko sticks. So it was like, now how do you make this harder? I told him, I said, the only way we can make this harder is start, you know, taking away your vision. We'll throw some strobe glasses on you. I was kind of joking, and he said, all right, let's do it. And I was like, well, do you really think that you can do that? And he said, yeah, it's the only way to find out. So these strobes are blocking out his vision, which is inhibiting his ability to spot his balance on the floor. So he has to maintain his balance and that ability to sense my center of mass going this way. How do I bring that back? How do I control that? If he's running and he takes a hit and it throws his center of mass off, he's got to be able to collect himself, regain his center of mass, and then land on his feet and keep driving forward.
I mean, how does he get out of this? Down right there, most people, then he's down there. Nope, another 12 yards later after the last one.
In the offseason, I'll typically see Alvin 5 days a week. We'll split up each day based on an upper day, a lower day, a trunk and spine day in the middle of the week, kind of emphasize different parts of the body, make sure each area has been addressed. Another day might be more of a dynamic stability focus. We might add in a hand-eye coordination, footwork focus, all of it also being injury prevention, keeping in mind any injury history he has, trying to stay ahead of the game, being proactive rather than reactive.
A gradual progression of these workouts, so, you know, I'm sure when I go in a week and a half, he'll have something new for me. So he always trying to find something to stump me, but I get him.
I love watching this guy play. His balance is just so remarkable. He doesn't look powerful, but he is. He has those big, thick legs, and every time you think you've got him on the ground, you just don't.
Over the last couple of years, Alvin and I have been really focusing on improving certain parts of his game. He said that he felt like he needed to improve finishing his runs. He often said to me, when I would get through the tacklers and I would break out to the open field, I would take off and my legs would get tired. And I feel like I'm losing some stride compared to where I think I could really be. We took time to say, okay, how do we improve that? We assessed the hip flexors being a little bit weak. We worked on some of the dynamic core stuff. And we said, okay, let's develop a plan specifically to improving that. Did a lot of different dynamic hip flexor strengthening exercises. We did it in sitting, we did it in standing, we did it in running. And he was able to have a lot more drive in those knees, a lot bigger stride. It's clearly shown on the field.
It didn't even look like he was running hard. He was running away from everybody. And he just left. He said, goodbye. I'm going back to New Orleans. See you next week.
I would define success in this situation based on my ability to improve an athlete's performance at the end of the day. To see it translate to the field is the ultimate definition of success for me and reaffirms everything that we're doing.
There you go. Nice job.
Now, I tell you what, it's a product association. I know that they do this in marketing. When they show you something else that's real successful, then they say, well, my stuff's just as good. Well, I'm going to jump on that bandwagon. I want to show you some of the things that we do in my class. And I think you'll see that it translates very well to the exercises we were seeing Alvin Kamara do. Check some of this stuff out. Just using the same tools that they're using. They're using a Bosu. They're using a big stability ball. It does not cost much to have these tools. And when you have these tools, it is unlimited. Unlimited what you can do.
Keep your knee over your foot. It's a little bit in front.
It's got to be a lot for sure.
Much better. Put more effort in the ball and behind you. Kind of push more into it. Letting that front leg, yeah, there it is. Now your knee is perfectly over your foot.
Okay.
Yep, that was a great one. Boom, yes. It's pretty intense.
Okay, okay. And then there is one more shot that we got to show. Yeah, this demonstrates hip flexion, hip stability, hamstring stretch. I'm talking about we're working so many different aspects of your body and your mind. The balance alone is incredible. But to be able to extend your body out, to stretch it out, and to flex it, oh, my God, it's incredible. Now, can you do it in a different manner? Yeah, oh, absolutely. You can do it out to the side. You can have it with me.
Right,
or let's just say that I'm just starting out. Then I would have you grab a broom handle or some kind of stability tool so you can have at least one hand, one point of stabilizing while your foot and your other leg is on a unstable surface. So as you work these muscles, as you work the functional activity of the joint, you're not only creating flexibility, you're not only creating strength, and you're not only creating the coordination factor, but you're creating it all at the same time. And thus, you really come out way ahead of, well, if you're competing against another athlete, you're way ahead of them because you've created a neurological type of communication in your body that's way better developed than what they may have. This we nicknamed, or we call it the superhero pose. So one leg is down, the opposite hand, and, well, the opposite knee and hand hold onto the ball while the opposite leg and arm, the other side, go out. Like you pretend like you're flying in the air, flying through the air. Now, the balance that is required to do this is fantastic. You have to do inner thigh on the one leg, out, you know, the other hand that's balancing it, and then just to get your leg to lift up while on an unstable surface, it's crazy. But once you start, and as you'll see here, Patty is getting ready to figure it out. I think this is actually her very first time doing this one particular exercise. Now, she's done other things to gain and to get a better stability, to get a better balance and a better feel on things, but this was her very first time attempting this move. So you'll see she's got a little bit of shake going on, a little bit of the nervous system not fine-tuned yet. But as you do this, and after one, after two, well, here's a perfect example. Mike, he's been doing this work for years, and he is so calm, so smooth on the ball, to reach back and to grab the opposite foot, that's just unheard of. It's just, he's always bumping it up to the next level. And here we go. Eric is right there, and he's in mid 70s or early 70s. He's a dance teacher, and he really finds great value in doing this. And so this is a perfect example of where you can start. You don't have to be on top of the big ball. You just start on the small BOSU. And that alone is very, very challenging. And, hey, that's what exercise should be. If you go to the gym and you're doing the same workout, the same weights, pushing it up, or just varying it because you're going to go a little faster or add more weight to it, it's crazy. It's not demanding anything new from your body. It's not nurturing new neurological learning. And these exercises do that and way more. When you're done with our class, you feel energized, you feel lighter, because not only have you worked out, but you've stretched out at the same time. And of course, we throw in a whole lot of deep breathing, so you got more oxygen, more of a stretch out, and a workout, increased blood flow. It's exactly what the doctor ordered. It's exactly where we need to go to when we consider our current culture of non-movement. Yes, indeed, we are a group of people who prefer to just look at a TV screen or look at a mobile device than to actually go out and look at nature. When is the last time? I want to challenge you this before we close. When is the last time you had direct contact with nature? Here's what I mean. Your feet were bare on bare ground, not asphalt, not concrete, not a wood porch. You had bare feet contacting bare ground. Or even if you reached down and touched the ground, or even if you hugged a tree, when is the last time you've had contact with Mother Earth? Okay, that's the first question. How long was it is the second question. And how many times a week do you do it? start taking account of that, because I'm willing to bet. Every time I question and I challenge people to this, they say, well, Stacy, you know what? Come to think of it, I never do. Never do. That's shocking. Here at TalkTamerRadio.com, this is the world's greatest radio. Radio the way it should be heard. Go out and touch some ground.
Got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.